There was Lazarus. Lazarus was beginning to produce peat when I went in. And Lazarus had to be surveyed, and the railways had to be designed, the bridges, all the, we built bridges like the new time, because it was a railway. Well, that had been my job. 5,000 acres out there. And 5,000 acres is a hell of a lot. The first thing is, you get entry. You get entry, you make loading banks and things like that, get heavy machinery off eventually. But you try to keep ahead. You know it's going to be needed, so if it's going to be needed, you need it now. It was a good philosophy as far as I was concerned. Anyway.
Progressed into engineering at third level, and went to college in university in UCD. And studied engineering, mechanical and electrical engineering, gradually grew into deciding what branch of engineering I wanted to get involved in. And I liked the idea of production. I have to put the thing in context and say that at the time, you know, when you're looking at the mid-50s, Ireland was very depressed.
Yes.
Extremely depressed. And indeed, the year that I graduated, there were questions of, did we make an awful mistake in leaving the United Kingdom? You know, had we made a terrible mistake? You know, were we a viable community at all? So that had an impact on me in saying, well, look, I would like to study production engineering. I would like to get involved in factories and do a little bit of training abroad and then come back to Ireland and work in industry and help to develop kind of a modern industry here in Ireland.
I started my career with ESB, and I started more or less straight away into the rural electrification scheme, which was probably at a peak at that stage. So that would have been, say, the start of 1956.
And what was your brief there in those early days?
Well, your brief was simple enough. Your brief was to take a crew of people and move into an area, a big area, maybe a big large parish or a few parishes, and set yourself up there and electrify that whole area. You know, typically might take six months, that order, you know. And I mean, I as a rural engineer then was, if you like, the manager of that crew or gang or whatever you like to call them, you know. Most of whom, a handful would move in, and then they'd recruit the rest of the people locally. The big thing I remember about that is when we moved into one of the areas there, we were going into, you know, work in a particular area. What we used to do is we'd put a notice in the local paper to say that we were taking on people. We wanted to take on people to work. And if you were interested, come to a certain crossroads at 5 o'clock on some day, and a couple of us would go along, you know. And I remember turning up at this crossroads, way out now in the sticks, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd say there were 200 to 300 guys there looking for jobs. Now, we might take on 30 or 40, you know. But I mean, that kind of image and impression remained with me. You know, here was this huge body of people anxious for work, you know, and living in very hard times and all the rest. Such big numbers. And
well, I think you have to understand the sort of pressures which exist from an explosion. You get a small amount of a solid which turns into a vast volume of gas, and that's trying to release itself. So it's moving outwards very, very rapidly and hitting things, this big blast of air, like an exceedingly strong wind, and that can break things if they're not strong in tension. But just think about it. It's got this mass which is all moving outwards. Well, actually, it leaves voids in the centre, and the air has to come back in again. So it actually causes a vibration. And that's why one of the fascinating things is, if you look at, for instance, windows after there's been a big blast, you will see some windows are broken and some aren't. And it's to do with the natural frequency of the window pane. And if the natural frequency happens to be near this in and out of the blast, the glass will break. But if it's nowhere near it, many times it won't break.
I ran the drainage department of Dublin County Council, and it was at a time of frantic activity, most interesting activity, because at that time the new towns were being developed, Talla, Clondalkin, Blanchardstown, all of these new areas. And we were providing, in our department, we were providing the sewers for those, for servicing those new towns. So we were talking about designing sewer systems, sewerage systems for the town of Talla, 100,000 people, you know, so it was serious stuff. It was large scale. And I remember Jack Barry saying at one stage, his life's ambition would have been to stand in a pipe that was 6 foot diameter, that was could accommodate him, that he could stand up straight tall. Now, if he had that size pipe as a consulting engineer, he really had a big job, you know. So this was his idea of Valhalla.
I'm talking to John Kelly. John, I'm talking to you about an incredible life of both in education and in your work as a chemical engineer. Could you take me back to the beginning and tell me where you grew up?
Oh, I grew up in Neary, County Down, just over the border, where I went to the Christian Brothers schools until I was about 11. And then I spent a year in St. Patrick's College, Armagh, of Ascension College, and transferred then to Castleknock College in Dublin, where I spent 6 years. I went to UCT and did chemical engineering. At that time, chemical engineering was just started in 1956. 52 was the first start of chemical engineering in UCT in Ireland. And there were three guys in that class, and I, again, with three other fellows from my own class, Castleknock, in 1953, decided to do chemical engineering, even though nobody knew what it was. There was no chemical industry in the country. But we were told that we'd be the first out and we'd get all the jobs. So without much career thought or input, without thinking, we all did chemical engineering.
I got an approach from a firm of sand and gravel contractors in Cork, John A. Wood Limited.
Yes.
And they really wanted to expand the company and they wanted more engineers. And they were getting into road surfacing and ready-mix concrete and concrete blocks in a much bigger scale, because the pace of building was beginning to pick up. This was in the early 60s. Well, in the mid-60s, I suppose. So I was recruited and joined. And the first thing I did was inherit a concrete pipe factory.
Thank you.